Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, here with us, right? He's here. He's here with us. Such a great, powerful song that gives great, a powerful testimony to the scripture that speaks of Christ's coming. When I think about that, when I think about from the very beginnings of history, this perfect plan of God, when God created Adam and Eve to walk with God, to walk with God in perfection, to walk with God, to worship Him perfectly. And in the beginning, we did. We walked with God. We were, through Adam and Eve, perfect, reflecting the perfect image of our great God, Yahweh. And then we fell. And we fell pretty quick. And suddenly, that perfection eluded us. And we found out quickly that imperfection is pain. It's heartache. It's death. It's chaos. Through Adam and his sin, billions of us have sinned. And in those early days, there was this promise. The promise directed toward man and woman, but also toward the enemy. And the gospel is always good news. But really, they can't be good news without bad news, right? I mean, the very thought of good news is because something difficult has been happening, something dark has been happening, and something dark has happened to this first couple. And the promise would be this, that in their darkness and in their fallenness and in their sinfulness, there would come a son, a seed of the woman that would come to crush the head of the enemy, to destroy his works. Satan, the serpent, would be crushed. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he says to the enemy, to his face, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he shall come and crush you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. That's good news. That was something to hope for. In the midst of their darkness, in the midst of their fallenness, in the midst of their pain, there would be a son that would come and restore it all back. A son that would come and make it all right again. To make it perfect again. To come and restore the relationship with God that they had walked with him in those early days of history. And as we said a couple of weeks ago in our opening Advent series, she's looking for the seed. She's looking for the son. And she's waiting. She's waiting to be redeemed. She's waiting to be restored back. Because she, as we said a couple of weeks ago, knows what it's like to walk with God in perfect harmony. But that's lost. But there's this hope. There's this promise. And the promise is that someone's coming. And it's a seed. And it's a male. He's coming. This son is going to come. And is going to take the darkness all away. And so when she has this son, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 15, when she sees it's a boy, she cries out and she says, I've gotten a man child. It is Yahweh. It is the Lord. And she thinks the seed that she's given birth to is the seed that would come and take it all away. But she's wrong. She's wrong. In all of her hope and all of her faith, that wasn't the seed. That wasn't Jesus. And from that point on, there's this promise of this coming seed, this coming son that would take it all away. But they had to wait. They had to wait and they had to hope. Every one of us in this place that have had children know that there's a waiting period. It's usually about 9 months. And usually it's a little bit shorter because we didn't know we were pregnant until about a couple of months later, right? But we still had to wait. We still had to wait for that child, that son, that daughter to come. And we had such great hope. We had such great promise that that son or that daughter would come. You know, it made me think this morning of the birth of Jeremy, 1985. We got here in January of 1985, and he was born 10 months later. And it was probably about April when they gave us a due date. The due date was sometime in November, early November. Now, my dad was born on his dad's birthday, September 16th. He was the sixth of seven sons and had this really special relationship with his dad because he believed that he just thought we were born on his birthday and it was something great. And so he got it in his mind and he got it in his heart that we would have a boy and that it would be born on my birthday, which is October 21st. Now, I know I've shared this story with you a couple years ago, but some of you are new to this, but I'm going to tell it again, okay? And so, as the months rolled by, he kept speaking it. You know, Mike and John Ann are going to have a baby, and it's going to be born, a boy, and it's going to be born on his birthday. And as the months continued to roll, he got more obsessive with it. Mike and John Ann are going to have a baby boy, it's going to be born on his birthday. Mike and John Ann are going to have a baby boy, it's going to be born on his birthday. I mean, he took out a piece of paper, wrote it out, sealed it, and carried it in his Bible for 4 months. And he drove us crazy. Crazy. Well, as time went on, you know, it got close to the 21st. As a matter of fact, it was the 20th, and we were in the parsonage, on the little trailer, or the single wide. And he calls us on the 20th of October from New Orleans and says, "We're getting up in the morning, and we are coming. Because Mike and Johnny are going to have a baby. It's going to be born on your birthday." And so I said to him, "Dad, listen. This baby's not due till November 2nd, and this baby can come a week late or 2 weeks late. You're driving from New Orleans. It's about a 9.5-10 hour drive. Just please wait. If he comes tomorrow, I'm sure you'll have enough time to come." And so in that morning, John Ann was doing some things that she usually doesn't do. And she said, "I think we're going to have this baby today." And so I thought, okay. And so she calls the doctor. The doctor says, "Yeah, come on. You're going to have that baby today." And so I call my dad. And because he had said, "Hey, call me in the morning. Call me in the morning." So I call my dad. And the first thing my dad says is, "Uh-uh." And I said, "Dad, you've been driving us nuts for about 6 months, right? And you've been telling us that this baby is going to be a boy. It's going to be born on his birthday. And the doctor is telling us the baby is coming today." And by the time they got to the hospital in Fort Worth, he was here, okay? He is here. And then he got everything wrong the rest of his life, right? Okay? But I just tell you, you know, when you've had that baby and some things, especially that first one, and you know, you don't know things, you don't understand things. I mean, you're just a novice and you're waiting. And then finally he or she comes. It's really interesting though. Lauren comes, Ashlyn comes, Tatum as a first grandson, Baylor comes, Cohen comes, Liam comes, Autry comes, Finley Joe comes, and we're waiting again for Fritch. Fritch Barnett coming in March. How many babies are coming in March? Raise your hands. I think there's a few, right? 1, 2, 3, anybody? 4, 5, wow. 5 babies coming tomorrow. How many babies are coming this year? Raise your hand. All right, great. You're waiting, right? They come, and you remember, you have more kids, you have all the grandbabies, and you just remember when they came. You remember everything about it, because you waited, and you prayed that they'd have 5 fingers and 5 toes, right? And you prayed those things, and you asked God to give you a healthy baby, and you waited. And you know, I just say that this woman, Eve, is waiting for this baby, waiting for it to come and restore her. But it doesn't happen for thousands of years. But today we know that he's come and he came. But the great thing about our God and Savior is that he came and he's still here. He is still here, and He's come to do wonderful things. So when we look at the text from this morning, when God says to Joseph, hey, listen, this baby that's coming, yeah, this baby's not yours, but this baby is of no man of this life. It's the Holy Spirit who's come upon Mary, and this son is going to be the child of God. This is going to be the Son of God. And listen, this is what you're going to do. You're going to name this baby Jesus. You're going to name Him Jesus. The transliteration of it in the Hebrew is Joshua. And what Joshua and Jesus means is Savior and Deliverer. Because He said this, because He will come and save and deliver His people, my people, from their sins. Eve says, that's what I've been waiting all my life. That's what you've been waiting for all your life when you came to Christ. To hear that this great God comes to deliver you. To deliver you from the powers of darkness. To come and deliver you from the sin that separated you from God. That gave darkness to your life. That brought pain to your life. They were waiting for Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call His name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6, for a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on His shoulders. And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And I guarantee you this, I know this, that Joseph has heard these verses. He has heard these scriptures from Isaiah. And all of a sudden he realizes that he, along with his wife, is a major player in redemption. Let me say this. 2,000 years later, if you're in Jesus, guess what? You and I become a major player in the redemptive work of God. Amen? Listen, when we get to understand that God has invited us to be a part on this side of the cross, on this side of glory, on this side of Pentecost, that we have this power available to us to be a part of the redemptive story of God. That it just doesn't stop with us. It just doesn't stop with our kids. That Jesus comes into our lives. The Spirit of God comes into our hearts, into our lives. To do what? To be a part of the redemptive work of God. Yeah, clap it. Yeah, the redemptive work of God. And so when you came to Jesus, you got the Spirit of God. And with the Spirit of God, you got gifts. And He gave you certain gifts for the building up of the body so that the body could be mature in Christ so that they can go together to be a part of the redemptive work of God. This is what it means for Jesus to come and save us and deliver us and work in our lives. When you look at the word Jesus, it means Savior. He is with us. The scripture says that they did. They named this baby Jesus, and He is here, and He is here with us. And when you look through scripture, you see in Psalm 34:17, He delivers you out of your troubles. In Psalm 18:48, He'll deliver you from your enemies. In Psalm 34:19, He will deliver you from our afflictions. In Psalm 91:3, He delivers us from the snare of the trapper. In Psalm 97:10, He delivers us from the hand of the wicked. In Proverbs 11:4, He delivers you from death. And in John 8:34 through 36, He delivers you from the power of sin. The thing that's brought such horrifying consequences to our lives and to our marriages, that brings consequences to us personally, the very sin that throws us into trouble, God takes through Jesus Christ. To deliver you from trouble, enemies, affliction, snare of the trapper, the hand of the wicked, from death and from the power of sin. And Romans 5:9 says much more then. Having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. By what? By the blood of Jesus. When Simeon spoke to Mary that day at the temple and said, listen, there's going to be some things that happen in your son's life that's going to bring some hardship and grief. But that hardship and grief would make a way for you and I to move into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ so that we might be one with Him, delivered from our sin, gifted and equipped to be a part of redemption story. And He says in this passage in Romans 5, it's because of His blood. And I just think that just how appropriate to come today to celebrate the table of our Lord as we know why He came. Not just to celebrate a birthday, but to celebrate a life day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year of our lives. And I want to ask you, church, are you celebrating the birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus every single day of our lives? How many of us know that we don't celebrate that every day, or we don't celebrate it for a season, or we don't celebrate it for a long time? We look back and we see destruction in our lives, or we see something maybe not being destroyed yet, but it's really close to it. We celebrate Jesus Savior. And I want to tell you, when you come to this table today in just a few minutes, when you come as families, when you come as couples, when you come maybe just by yourself today, when you come to this table, you're going to take the piece of bread, and if you're you might give it to your family, and you're actually going to give it to yourself, right? And what you're going to do is you're going to take this bread, and you're going to believe by taking it that God did some wonderful things through the brokenness of Christ when He redeemed you 2,000 years ago. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:24 gave great instruction for this Lord's Supper. And this is what he says. He says, listen, in the night he was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, he gave thanks. And he said, as often as you eat of this bread, do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of who? Remembrance of Jesus. Remembering what the body proclaimed and procured for you and me of faith. Number one, in Isaiah chapter 53, 4, the body of Christ bore your griefs, bore your shame and your guilt. And listen, there's a lot of us in this place that have grief in our lives because of bad choices we've made and sins we've walked in. And when I take this body, when I take this bread, I'm saying that body availed for me so that He takes away the grief in my life of poor choices, the grief in my life of horrible sin and rebellion toward God. He took my grief away. Do you believe that today? He bore your sin on His body. The very thing that brought you grief. The very thing that brought separation from our great God. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that when you take this bread today and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death. You are saying Christ crucified. And what He did 2,000 years ago, it availed to me. So I get to walk from this place crucified with Christ, nevertheless living, and living by the power of God. And I want to say this to you, my church, our church, flock. This is a serious thing. Because if you say, I take this bread and I proclaim these things, but I don't live that way, the Bible in the same passage says that you eat and drink judgment to yourself, and that you must examine yourself. In a few minutes, we'll have elders and their wives here to receive you if you need prayer. There'll be an altar here to kneel down. Maybe even now, right now, as you're sitting here, maybe right now, that's the altar. And you might say, again, the last few weeks, the last few months, the last few years have been hell. Been hard. And I've gone the way that I should not have gone. But today, in the altar of this seat, or the altar of these steps, or the altar of my heart, or just coming to an elder and a wife and praying, I'm making it right today so I can come to the table in a manner worthy of God. Let me say this. I've had people say, you can't come worthy. I want to say this. Yes, you can. By the blood of Jesus and by the faith that you proclaim that what that blood did for you 2,000 years ago. And you don't have to wait 10 weeks to get right with God. Amen. Get right to God with God right now. You'll come to this table, you'll take this bread, you'll eat it, and you'll proclaim what the body of Christ has done. And then you'll take the juice, you'll take the cup. Maybe you'll give it to your family and you'll take it together. But what you're saying, you're proclaiming is that not only did the body of Christ avail for me, not only did Jesus save me by his body, but his broken body, but he saved me by his blood, the blood that was shed. And so there's a few things that the scripture says about the blood. It cleanses and forgives you. There's some of you in this place that can't forgive yourself. And I'm going to tell you this. You have the power right now to forgive yourself, anybody else, and receive the forgiveness of God. Listen, right now, just like that, in an instant where God moves and God blesses. And you know what the blood does? It gives you constant access to God through Christ. That you don't have to, you can go right, because of who you are in Christ, you can go right to the Holy of Holies. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4, and to receive grace and mercy in time of need. The blood makes you holy and blameless. The blood made a way for your redemption. In Romans 5, 9, as we just read, the blood justifies you, or by the blood you're justified. And by the blood it provides victory over the enemy that was crushed on his head by Jesus when he spilt his blood and offered you his body. Bible says in Revelation 12:11, they overcame him because of what? The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. And this is the victory that we proclaim. And so here's the thought. Joseph, you will name him Jesus because he will deliver you. He will deliver you and your people from their sins. When we utter the name Jesus, we're uttering the name Deliverer, Savior. That's what it means. We are uttering that name in Jesus' name. In the Deliverer, Savior's name, we pray these things. Because that's what his name means. If you're in bondage to some sin, to some stronghold today, you can begin to experience freedom today because of the body and the blood of Jesus. If you are lost today and you've never heard this before, today you can come and come to faith to believe that the blood and the body and the blood of Jesus availed for you so that you might put your faith and your trust in Jesus today. And when Jesus saves you and you come to know him, he comes into your life. He saves you. He comes into your heart. And guess what that is? That's Emmanuel. God with us. But listen to this. For you and me, it's not only God with us. It's God for us. And it's God in us. Emmanuel. If the Bible says that if Jesus did not go away, if he did not go away, that he could not come to you. But if he go, he would send the helper to be with you and me forever. Forever. He said, I'll ask God for the helper and he will come and he'll abide with you forever. This is the promise of God. This is the promise for you and for me. Would you bow with me in prayer? Yeah, can I have piano, Stephen? Can you come? Let me ask you a question. First sermon of Advent. We spoke of hope, anticipation of the goodness and glory of God. I want to ask you today, do you have this hope, this anticipation of this work of God that began in your life the day you received Jesus? Actually, probably even before that, when God started calling you. And even when you rejected it, and even when you said no to it, he kept coming back. He kept coming back. And you received him into your life. And maybe you didn't understand all there was to understand. And maybe you don't even understand it today. But I want to tell you this. Jesus loves you. And he gave his body to be beaten and broken and nailed into, and he gave his blood to shed his sin for you so that he would appease the wrath of a righteous and glorious God. He came to put you on the road that leads to life. And that road is narrow. But it's a life. It's a journey. Where what he did 2,000 years ago is available for you today. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to ask elders to come on up to their places and their wives. I'm going to ask John Ann to join me at this place. If you need prayer as you come to this place, just have them pray for you. Have them pray for you.